This program is brought to you by Resonance FM. If you like what you hear, please support our work by making a donation at resonancefm.com/donate.
This album has been made by recording sheep of the Lacha type. The Lataxa is a breed of domestic sheep native to the Basque country, mostly contained within the provinces of Biscay, Yapuco and Navarre. Lataxa are dairy sheep whose unpasteurized milk is used to produce Idiazabal and Roncal cheeses. There are two subtypes of the breed, a dark-faced and a blonde. The breed is a medium or small-sized sheep with long, coarse wool. Ewes are polled or have short horns, while rams always possess long, spiral horns. The name Lataxa itself refers to the rough quality of the wool, which is largely an agricultural byproduct today. Traditionally, Lataxa sheep have been managed by moving the flock to mountain pastures in summer when the ewes have finished lactating, with cheese-making taking place on the farm. Some flocks are moved while still lactating, with the animals being hand-milked on the high pastures.
Good afternoon, you're listening to Wavelength on Resonance 104.4 FM. And once again, I am ably assisted by Milo Thesiger Meacham. Thank you very much, Milo,
for Hello.
Helping me. And this week I seem to have been somewhat upstaged, in fact. I feel almost, it's almost like my own choice of records has been somehow relegated by this extraordinary record, which you were playing. As I came into the studio, so this is your choice, not mine. So you better tell me about this bizarre record.
Well, I just brought it in to test the turntables, really, and you latched onto it. This is a record given to me by my friend Agnes Pay, who is a Spanish artist based in Madrid. And when did it say it was released? 2021.
2021.
Yeah, so she released a record of... essentially, it's a kind of field recording record of endangered sheep species, I think, in the Basque country. But it then kind of moves on from field recordings and becomes a whole artwork in itself. I think right. She does a lot of manipulation and covers of Barbara Black sheep.
It's not straight sheep recordings, is it? I mean, there is a degree of manipulation. There's sort of strange creaking noise on it.
I think she's taking little moments from a single bar,
right,
and then doing things with them.
So it says here the bleats were recorded in October 2020.
Black sheep is an English nursery rhyme. The earliest printed
this
version
is,
of which
I think this is when she goes into a cover of. Do you want to listen
the
to this?
Yeah. Not changed very much in 2.5 centuries.
Extraordinary. So it's a 45 RPM transparent vinyl record, which comes in a transparent sleeve, and it's got what's this strange sort of tag that is attached to it?
That's the tags that they put in the ears of sheep.
Oh, right. Sort of stapled through the ear of the sheep. This one says it's made with Lataxus sheep for all types of sheep, and contains bleats.
Yes.
Well, thank you very much for that, Milo. Thank you. So now I'm going to move on to my own obtuse choices, I suppose you might call them. This first LP is by Chris Evans and Morten Norby Halvorsen. And some whole... I think we should fade out the bleats now. It might be. Thank you for that. Anyway, yeah. So this album is called Jingles Grazer Kunstverein 2017 to 2020, and one whole side of the LP seems to be composed of numerous tracks. You can hardly separate the tracks. They look like there's about, I don't know, 25 or 30 very short tracks. And Jingles was devised by Chris Evans as a series of short musical compositions, varying in duration between 0.74 and 28 seconds, that are activated by sensor upon entry and egress to cumulatively proclaim and broadcast the arrival and departure of each visitor to Grazer Kunstverein. And then Evans invited artist and musician Morten Norby Halvorsen to collaborate on compositions. And then, originally inspired by bass melodies used for interludes in American sitcoms that connotate scenic transition, the jingles were made from percussive sounds built around Evans' bass lines. So the collection of work is published as a 12-inch vinyl LP in 6 signed editions of 25 copies each, for which Evans has made a series of silk-screened covers featuring each of the institution's 6 doors. Anyway, so it goes on. So it's a sort of screen-printed cover. This one is signed in pencil, Chris Evans and MNH, being the other artist, and this is number 16 of 25. We'll play side A first of all. These are all the very, very short jingles, and there are quite long pauses between each one. You never quite know how long it's going to be or how long the pause is going to be. So we could play a few minutes of this, and then we'll turn it over, which is a more uninterrupted piece. Yeah, so this is Jingles. I haven't actually counted them all. I could count them. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23. Yeah, sorry, in fact, 24 very short tracks on the side of this LP. You never quite know when they're going to stop or start. We can play some more of the other side later, but now I'm going to play maybe 10, 15 minutes of a Mark Leckie album, In This Lingering Twilight Sparkle, by Mark Leckie. And what's his statement? Some sort of statement. Apparently you were saying, Milo.
Sorry, do you want me to turn that down?
I think maybe we could fade that one out now. Yeah. Thank you. So you say Mark Leckie's done some things on Resonance.
He did one thing with a musician called Freddie Lomas for Resonance Extra.
Yeah. Oh, right.
I'm not sure if he's done things for Resonance FM.
Ah. Did you see the show at the Cabinet Gallery really recently?
No, I didn't. I don't think I did.
So he had a little show at the Cabinet Gallery, which isn't, it used to be in the East End, and it's now located over near the American Embassy, sort of going sort of beyond Vauxhall, which is quite an extraordinary area. I mean, when you when you walk through it, it's a bit like walking through Alphaville or something. You kind of, these areas of London which are being developed. And the Cabinet Gallery is right in the middle of that. And I'm pretty sure it's finished now, but it's an extraordinary video installation with somebody hurling themselves through a bus shelter. I mean, literally going through the glass, mm-hmm. and this repeats over and over again. So this guy, I don't know if it's something that this guy does habitually or
regularly.
It's a bit like skateboarding or something, but it seems to be some activity where someone takes a run at a bus shelter and the whole bus shelter shatters and the guy goes through it. It's quite extraordinary. Let's play a bit of this album, which is a pink vinyl album. And is also fairly extraordinary, I think.
It was all so still and silent, and the sky was heavy and grey and sad. I never saw such big ugly stones before, and they went on and on as far as I could see, a long, long way. I was afraid. I went on into the dreadful rocks. There were hundreds and hundreds of them. Some were like horrid grinning men. I could see their faces as if they would jump at me out of the stone and catch hold of me and drag me with them back into the rock so that I should always be there. And there were other rocks that were like animals, creeping, horrible animals, putting out their tongues. And others were like words that I could not say, and others like dead people lying on the grass. I went on among them, though they frightened me, and my heart was full of wicked songs that they put into it. I sang the songs I thought of. Songs full of words that must not be spoken or written down. Then I made faces like the faces on the rocks. And I twisted myself about, like the twisted ones. And I lay down flat on the ground like the dead ones. And the story was all true.
Okay, so this is by Mark Leckie, In This Lingering Twilight Sparkle. And there's a brief statement on the back. No, what do you want to talk about? Like, do you want to talk about the world? I don't know. Talk about you or me or your family of flowering different types of flowers. Are you? Can talk about anything you want. What do you want to talk about? Like unicorns, the princess of thing, anything you want. And the tracks on side two include an excerpt from The White People by Arthur Machen, The Ruin, again an excerpt from a 10th century poem, Not by Gentle Giant, and something else, an excerpt from William Blake, and ends with The Act of Being Polite by The Residents, sung over by Mark Leckie. So I'm going to return to the Chris Evans and Morton Norby Halvorsen album and play The Other Side, which is one lengthy track, unlike the jingles which were on the other side. Thank you. Yeah, so that's the flip side of the Chris Evans and Morten Norby Halvorsen album. The whole thing is called Jingles, in fact. Jingles 2017 to 2020, and that was side B, which is just called Edit. So coming up next is some sound poetry, contemporary sound poetry. Well, selected sound poetry from 1986 to 1994 by John M. Bennett from an album called A Flattened Face Fogs Through. Selected sound poetry, 1986 to 1994. So I think we'll start with these. I'll play two tracks, one straight after the other, because one isn't that typical, but the first one I hope is. All right.
The shirt, the sheet, 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 the shirt, the shirt, the sheet, 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 the shirt, 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 the shirt,
Yeah, so those were two tracks from A Flattened Face Fogs Through, selected sound poetry by John M. Bennett. The first track was The Shirt, The Sheet, and the last track was Evered Et, I think. E-H-T, Evered Eight, Eight. Anyway, so the last track is probably the least typical. The other tracks mostly plays on words and repetitions of words so that the sound of the word becomes something else. And this next track is by, how would you pronounce that, Milo? O with an I and an umlaut over the top. So it's Oi Les Ox, or Oi Les Ox.
Oi Le.
Oi Le Ox.
Oile.
Okay, well that's the name of the, all tracks are by Oi Les Ox. And some of them are read by OK Presence. And this is from an album called Crooner qui coule sous les clous. How's your French? You sounds like you know it better than me. How would you pronounce that?
I don't know. I'm sorry.
Okay. Well, I'll take a plunge on Crooner qui coule sous les clous. Okay, so we'll play a long track from that. This is an album I actually bought as an art gallery in Nice called the Villa Arson, which is kind of, you get a tram. It's part of an art school in Nice, actually. And you get a tram that goes all the way up the hill to this amazing building, actually, which overlooks the whole of Nice, and you can see the bay and the sea, and it is a fantastic location. And anyway, this is where I bought that album. This is the first time I've played it, in fact. And then after that, time permitting, we'll play some Brendan Behan, and then perhaps we'll bleat out with some more sheep sounds.
Monologue du crooner porté par un newman pris pour un lecteur. Qui dit play, dit pique.
Abattu et serein, le newman contemple sa tessiture débile. Ou nostalgie externe. Thank you.
Le repos imposé par une reine marbrée, si après la décision de la côte régalienne souffle au mégaphone sur des foules chorégraphiées.
I decided for some odd reasons of my own, when I was brought before the military court and charged with the attempted murder of Patrick Cowan and Martin Hanrahan, or Martin Cowan and Patrick Hanrahan, I know not which was which, that I would use the statement that I had used at Liverpool. I don't see why a good thing can't be said too often. The officers sat in front of us on a slightly raised counter of sorts with our caps and our swords in front of them. And we had two PAs, military policemen, beside us. And they were quite civil. They simply told us to get into the dock and stop there. And police told their story, and with one exception, told it without any venom. And I reflected on the sadness of Irishmen fighting Irishmen, or indeed, I'm ashamed even now to say, of men fighting men anywhere, or men fighting women, or women fighting men, or anybody fighting anybody, because at nature, I suppose at heart, I'm a pacifist. But however, I stood up and said, as a soldier of the Irish Republican Army, I refused to recognise the court, just as did the others when they were charged. And I got the heaviest sentence, despite the fact that I was the least of the four in the eyes of the Irish Republic. I was surprised to discover afterwards there's a copy of a Republican underground journal run from Belfast said that volunteer Behan displayed greater courage in defence of his officers. I read this with a rather ironical smile. Following us were some boys who had been arrested for a bank hold-up in a border town. And a bank hold-up, I knew from experience, is a job that gives one no glory because you are specifically forbidden by General Army orders of the IRA to refuse to recognise the court. You must recognise the court and you must accept the fact that you robbed the money almost as if you had robbed it for yourself. So these fellas were coming up and they were smiling all over their clocks. I was glad to welcome one of them home from a Belfast jail very recently and give him a party in my house, at which I may say he made a pass at my wife, but that's in the family, so to speak. And I admired their courage so much because they would be sentenced to go as criminals, and to I have nothing against criminals except every criminal I know is a Tory and a bore, and in Ireland votes when he's outside and has a vote for the people that were shoving some of my friends against the wall and sending me and my friends to 14 years, 7 years and 3 years penal servitude. But I went down smiling too, and I saw, and I met my mother who was in tears, and the mothers of some of the other boys. We were all carted off to Mountjoy Jail, where we refused to be searched. Mumpler says, he says, you're one of the fellas that was in jail over in England. I said, yes. I said, you're a tough guy. I said, I'll show you whether I am or not. And at the time, if I say so myself, I was pretty tough. But they shoved us up where there were 80 other IRA men, all in separate cells, of course. And we were there for a year. I was there for 2 hangings and 1 execution by shooting. 2 of the hangings were of what we were called ordinary private enterprise murderers. One of them being the man who, about whom afterwards I wrote the play called The Queer Fellow. And Bernard Carwin by name, as he's not here to defend himself, I just say no more about him except that he was a very gay personality. And I saw him the night before he was executed. We were marched in from the exercise yard, it happened to be in the summer, and he embraced myself and a fellow called, he dashed out from the cell where he was with his visitors and with 2 warders, and shoved the 2 warders who stood aghast at the idea of a condemned man having in contact with anybody. And he embraced myself and Hickey, and he says, tomorrow, he says, at 8:10, I will be praying for you in heaven. I hope his prayers were heard and are heard. But he was executed the next morning, holding just before he was executed, he put a cup of water on the back of his right hand, and turned to the warder that was taking him out to be executed and said, you see, that's the hand of a man, he says, it's going to be executed in 10 minutes. And his hand never shook. And somebody said to me he was very brave. No, so he was very mad. And so he didn't know a lot about executions by hanging, which is a very painful method of execution, according to reports I've heard in various jails I was in. The other execution I heard was of a boy from the county of Kerry who had fired a shot at the police. And it was one of the minor charges upon which I was sentenced to 14 years. But he, however, was thought to be more important than I was, and he was executed. And I would like to put it on record that he was executed by Mr. Raymond de Valera's Republican government, not by the British and not by the Northern Ireland authorities, which proves to you that statements like your own looking after you are complete nonsense. As can be exemplified in the case of the daughter of a British hero and a politician who was persistently being arrested for the most, on the very slightest grounds, not because she happens to be doing anybody any harm, but because she happens to be who she is. The copper knows that her father is now out of power, is a very old man, and not very likely to return to power again. But at the same time, he can stick a famous name on his charge sheet, and he can get his own name, usually Murgatroyd or Ram's Bottom or something, spread all over the newspapers. But I was up in Mount Joy and I discovered that most of my comrades were engaged in various handicraft classes.
This program has been brought to you by Resonance FM. If you like what you heard, please support our work by making a donation at resonancefm.com/donate.